With a fresh 5 inches of snow on the ground at Casa Miles, it is time to turn and speak with Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, who joins us on a Monday morning all the time. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. 5 inches, huh?
Yeah, 5 inches at my house.
Uh-huh. Well, no inches here, but it is the grayest morning in a long time. And I think it's just going to rain all day. Anyway, I was literally obsessed with meatballs for a couple of weeks. I have, you know, now that I'm back on a ketogenic diet, meaning minimal carbohydrates, I have trouble making meatballs without a carbohydrate. And this all came up because my downstairs neighbor, who turns to me for cooking advice, asked me what she could put in her meatloaf that would make it stick together better. And she's gluten-free and kosher. So this was not really a challenge, but she was reluctant to take my suggestion, which was to use rice as the lightener as well as filler. It's really, you need that carbohydrate addition, oatmeal if you're gluten-free, or rice if you're gluten-free, or not. You can use rice or oatmeal also if you're not gluten-free. And I always think bread. Now, in the old days, meaning in the 90s, when I was writing my Italian books, I was able to buy a bread that was extremely good for letting it dry out and use in meatballs. That bread is not available to me lately, but when I do find a bread that's going to be good, I do buy it, and if I have leftovers, I make my own breadcrumbs. So I do have a jar of really good breadcrumbs here. It's not bread. So I decided yesterday to make meatballs using a big step for me, because I really have been almost zero carbs for the last week, to make meatballs with breadcrumbs. Got it?
Yeah.
But I wanted to use minimal breadcrumbs. So here's what here's my formula. Ends up, I guess this, I don't know, I've made these meatballs so many times, the recipe is not only in my brain, but it's in more than one book of mine. And it's a pound and a quarter of ground beef that should not be any leaner than 80% lean. If you must, 85% lean, which means it's not quite as much fat. My butcher happened to have some pre-ground, well, he'll grind it, you know, to my specs, but pre-ground, which is always less expensive, but I know it was ground maybe an hour before I bought it. I bought this huge package of meat, and I weighed out a pound and a quarter. So, by the way, these are my standard Neapolitan meatballs. But maybe I should give a little background here. I love meatballs so much. I once proposed a book on meatballs. This is before meatballs became trendy. Now they're not even trendy anymore. Maybe now is the time to publish the book. But the book was rejected by the editor that I wanted to work with because she told me the secret, she doesn't eat ground beef, or actually ground meat of any kind. I said, you don't even eat sausage? No, I don't eat sausage either. I mean, I don't know what they put in there. So that book was put aside. But at that point, I had so many meatball recipes in my files, things that I liked making and tasted good and well-tested in the sense that I make them all the time. And in fact, this morning when I was looking through my meatball section of my computer, there's pages of meatball recipes. But the thing is, when I crave a meatball, I generally am craving a Neapolitan-style meatball. And truth be told, my butcher here in, you know, he's about a mile down the street, is from Calabria. And he's a wonderful cook. And I've been buying his meatballs for years now because he makes meatballs as good as mine. maybe even a little bit better. And but yesterday I thought, it was my Sunday cooking project. It's not such a project. So, but I have all these other meatballs that I like to make. For instance, I was on a Swedish meatball jag sometime during the pandemic. And I was, and then there were these Jewish meatballs. I call them Jewish because they're from a book written by Mitchell Davis, who has moved on to doing other things, but is still in the food world. I'm not sure. He used to be the communications director for the Beard Foundation. But he wrote a very nice cookbook of Jewish food called The Mensch Chef. Not, you know, like the French chef, but this is the Mensch chef. Mensch is a Yiddish word denoting a good person. Let's just say that. So his Jewish meatballs I made for a long time, and they're really good. I'm not going to give this recipe, but they have a sauce. They're cooked in a sauce that's seasoned with both tomato paste, mustard, Worcestershire. It's a nicely seasoned sauce. But the secret of the meatballs, as Mitchell would happily tell you, is that they taste much better the second day. Most Jewish food, he will tell you, or does tell you in this book, tastes better reheated. I don't think my meatballs are best reheated. The fact is, my Neapolitan meatballs, I think, are best eaten as soon as they come out of the oil being fried. I fry my meatballs. Even if the very center of the meatball is not fully cooked, I don't mind that at all. So, in my meatball, these are my Neapolitan meatballs. 1 1/4 pounds of chopped beef. I would say 2 nice-sized cloves, not enormous cloves, of garlic, finely minced. About a big handful, let's say a half a cup of parsley, parsley leaves, which you then will chop up relatively coarse, actually, not fine. And it'll be like a heaping quarter cup of parsley. 2 eggs beaten together, throw that in the bowl. And for the bread, I used my nice, pure, nothing but flour, yeast, tiny bit of salt, breadcrumbs. I don't use panko breadcrumbs. I think I mentioned on the air recently that I've been playing with panko. But panko have sugar in them.
They're much sweeter than regular. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and I didn't want that flavor. The fact is, if I wanted something sweet in my meatballs, I would have put in some raisins. Because the old-fashioned Neapolitan meatballs have raisins and pine nuts. And I'm off of pine nuts lately. I got to find a good source of pine nuts that are, you know, I have to go to Costco. They used to carry pine nuts that were affordable. I haven't bought pine nuts in a while, but even chopped walnuts are nice, actually, in a meatball. So, that's it. Salt, I would say a heaping teaspoon of salt, a nice half teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, and cheese, and a half a cup of, I used a grated pecorino, because I had it in the house, but if you have Parmigiano or, I should say Parmigiano, and what's the other, and Grana Padana, which is another grating cheese. Any of those will do, but I like pecorino in the meatballs. And Mr. Harned, who I feed, claims not to like pecorino, but he doesn't even notice that it's pecorino in the meatball. And it does add a certain, as to use the current term, umami, as well as salt. So that's it. I start, you know, mixing it with a fork. I end up mixing it with my hands. And then this I form into 12 meatballs. And I didn't measure them yesterday, but I'm thinking that it's about a heaping third of a cup per meatball. And it came out exactly, I must say, to 12 meatballs. And you can bake them if you must. You can put them on a baking sheet, and I would bake them at 450, probably for about 20 minutes or so, because I'm going to finish them in some tomato sauce. And I fried mine. I did it in my big black iron skillet. I had to do it in two steps because there was too many meatballs for the skillet at one time. I fried them in about a third of an inch of oil, of canola oil is what I use as my neutral oil. And, you know, you push them around. I like to keep order here. I usually start at the meatball at 6 o'clock and then go all around the pan and then fill in the middle. And then by the time I've done that, I have to go all around again and put them on another side of the meatball. By the way, this takes 2 wooden spoons to turn these meatballs. And you want to, they're not so soft that, I didn't do the breadcrumbs. 3/4 of a cup of breadcrumbs with 3/4 of a cup of milk, but you could use water if you like. They're not kosher already because they have 1/2 cup of cheese in them. But if you are kosher, I guess you could leave out the cheese. I don't know of any kosher. There is kosher Parmigiano. I don't know of kosher Pecorino. There may be. But you can't do it anyway. What am I talking about? You can't mix milk and meat. So that's the, and that's it. And then I made my very, very simple tomato sauce because I was also making a not-so-simple sauce. So I thought, let me make life easy here. I sautéed some garlic and olive oil and turned in a jar, a bottle, of tomato puree. It's nice Italian, not very expensive, less than $2 for a bottle of puree. And let that, with a little salt and pepper, and let that cook a few minutes. Let it come to a simmer, stirring it, getting that oil incorporated into the tomatoes. And then put in your meatballs. And let them, turn them in the sauce, let them simmer for about 15 minutes. Doesn't need more than that. So that's Neapolitan meatballs. But here's a meatball that my family adopted. Because I guess it's easy and delicious, and my sister decided it was going to be her go-to appetizer for any occasion, including Thanksgiving, whatever. And I call them, I name this Manly Meatballs, because they were served at a party for my late friend, Alexis Bespalov, who was the dean of American wine writers in his day, for 20 years the wine writer for New York Magazine. Alex had a knack for staying friends with his ex-girlfriends. And for his 60th birthday, the girlfriends got together, some of them, and threw him a party, a birthday party. One of the girlfriends was now married to another friend, and he said, he looked at the menu, and he said, this is all girly food. We need some manly food. And he offered this recipe, these little cocktail meatballs, and that's why I call them Manly Meatballs. My sister loved this when I served them. I guess I must have served them to her and forever made them, and I've made them many times myself. Now, being a manly meatball doesn't mean that it's a big gesunda meatball. These are tiny meatballs. And, in fact, they're supposed to be baked on top of a tiny round of French bread. Do you know what a ficelle is? Ficelle is these very thin baguettes. I don't know how else to describe it. It's a French bread. And you can buy them. And if you don't see a ficelle, you can take another kind of, you know, a normal baguette that usually isn't more than like 3 inches in diameter, 2 inches in diameter, and cut each half-inch slice in half so that you have a small toast. And on this, you're going to put the meatball mixture, which is 1 pound of ground chuck. You know, by the way, very often, ground chuck is not ground chuck. It could be, but it these days signifies chopped beef or ground beef that is about 80% lean. So if you package, I think everywhere that these days you have the supermarket or the butcher, whomever, has to tell you what the percentage is. Well, not my butcher, I got to say. Anyway, you want a normal 1 pound of ground beef. For this, 3 scallions. And I like to buy chunky scallions, so 3 chunky scallions, and use most of the green as well as the white part, and mince it fine. 4 tablespoons, you were adding this all to the ground beef, 4 tablespoons of dark soy sauce. Now, you may not have dark soy sauce, so you can use regular soy sauce. I always have dark in my house. It's a little sweet. And if you have regular soy sauce, for sure add a firmly packed teaspoon of brown sugar, and that's it. Mix this all together with your hands, or if you can't, a fork is always better than a spoon, I think. So you're mashing it all together. And then make meatballs the size of small walnuts. It should just be big enough to fit the top of the bread. So judge how big a meatball you're going to make by how big a piece of bread you have. And then put it all on a baking sheet. And preheat your oven to 450. And so you can do this all ahead, by the way. This is one of the beauties of this recipe. You know, you put them down on their little crostini, their little toasts, and you cover the whole sheet with a piece of plastic wrap, and then take them out of the refrigerator, you know, at least a half an hour before you're going to put them in the oven, and then just put them in a 450-degree oven. Usually doesn't take more than, depends on the size of your meatball, of course, 7 to 9 minutes, 10 minutes at the most, and you want to serve them immediately. So actually, if you're serving a lot of people, you might want to do a few at a time, you know, like put them on small baking sheets and put them, you know, rotate them, you know, take one out, put one in, like that. These are really good. Very few ingredients, really good. I don't know where ever there is a name for these meatballs in Chinese, but I don't know what it is. Yes.
Meatballs are great, except I hate when I go to somebody's house and they make meatballs and they rave about them and they're little stones.
Well, so let me say, rice, oatmeal, bread. I used to use soaked bread, which I still prefer over everything. You know, several-day-old bread that you then soak in water, milk, or broth. Whatever it is, it adds to the lightness. And it, as my downstairs neighbor said, what can I use to stick this together? And she was going to put in potato starch. I said, please don't.
Oh,
that's like glue. but eggs are a very good binder, but then you have to add some rice. Let me say, I have a nice head of cabbage here, and I was toying with the idea of making stuffed cabbage, and then it dawned on me, stuffed cabbage is a meatball wrapped in cabbage. And in fact, I have a recipe. I'm not sure it ever was published. I think maybe one of my very early books, like Cooking in a Small Kitchen, unstuffed cabbage, where you make meatballs with, by the way, the starch in this case is rice. And I don't know how they did it, because I have my grandmother's recipe for this, and she put raw rice into the meat. I've never been successful doing that. I feel you need to at least blanch the rice. You know, rice takes about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on the rice. At least give it 5 to 8 minutes boiling in water, and then add it to the meat. That's a very good filler. So unstuffed cabbage is a mixture of sauerkraut, tomato, and your fresh cabbage, shredded, and meatballs that are made the same way you would make them if you were stuffing them in the cabbage. You just cook them outside the cabbage. I could look up the recipe, but because people always need an exact recipe. I would just do it.
I did that once. I called it deconstructed, cabbage rolls. That's what I named it, deconstructed.
Well, I think I called it unstuffed before the term deconstructed in relation to food became trendy. I've been thinking this morning about how many, I did a column once, and I'm still here, enumerating all the things that had happened in my first 25 years of being a food editor. And now I've been 53 years, and so a lot has happened there, too. If you watch food television, it's like, it would be a new, who would think they'd put hamburgers on television?
Well, who would think that the problem with Food Network and all these other things, there's nothing wrong with Guy Fieri, okay? His restaurants. I mean, people.
I've never been to one of them.
A lot of fried, greasy. But the art of cooking is not improved at all by what's on the food channels nowadays.
No, not on the food channels. And I'm amazed, by the way, at how poor the programming is. I mean, really, can't they find somebody other than Bobby Flay and Guy Fieri? Really. So anyway, and even my formerly favored whatever her name is, the Pioneer woman, she's taken to using way too many highly processed foods. I'll just put it there. I just read a story the other day. Who knows? I mean, it was so old news that I've lived long enough where old news is not only new news, but very old news. A few cycles ago has come back. It's like Bob always wears turtlenecks when nobody was wearing turtlenecks. Now, if you watch television at all or go anywhere, you'll see that everybody's wearing turtlenecks. So it comes full cycle. So anyway, Ree Drummond, that's her name, is using, convenience foods. Sigh.
Yeah, well, you're right, though, because, I like watching some of the entertainment shows, okay? They're entertainment. They're not about cooking. They're more about entertaining the audience. I get that.
I'm going to challenge you here. Like what?
Like the Goofy Guy's Grocery Games. It's more entertainment than anything else.
All right, well.
But when they start giving these cockamamie recipes, and you're right,
it's just encouraging. It's interesting because on the one hand, America is obsessed with eating healthy, and on the other hand, all they want to see is over-the-top sandwiches and hamburgers.
Well, and also, talking about eating healthy, Arthur, have you ever seen what's in an Impossible Burger? You know, the fake meat burger?
I have, and I have even tried it because it's my job. But no,
it's just full of additives.
It's totally highly processed. I mean, it's all highly processed. All this, the thing is, in the keto world, you can eat just processed foods. You can eat all. I was going to use a bad word, but so you can eat all kinds of bad things, which are made up to satisfy some kind of carbo or sweet tooth. I only eat fresh food, so that means I have to cook. And if I don't want to cook, I go to my butcher, and he has beautiful sliced roast beef. Can I say? I don't know. I have to live in a cocoon of my own. Because, really, if you want to see good food, go on TikTok. Because there are real people, and even chefs, making good food.
And there's people, and it's fun.
It's Emeril Lagasse, who only does infomercials these days.
Yeah.
I don't know where else you'd see him. But he's another one. I mean, there must be other people who can sell air fryers. Really?
Well, the funny thing is,
he's tempted me. And on TikTok, you will find a lot of people using air fryers, and it's funny. air fryers on the one hand and hot pots or whatever, the crock pots, slow cookers. They're not called crock pots anymore. They're called slow cookers. So you can slow cook or you can fast cook, but in between, very little advice.
I can slow cook with my Le Creuset cookware. I can slow cook with that. That's what I do all the time. You know, I just keep the heat low and do it for a long period of time and keep your eye on it. And it's,
well, I mean, you have to cook. So so keto has that. Every special diet is exploited by the food processors and food manufacturers. If people are going on carbohydrate-free diets, they're going to produce low-carbohydrate things. And put the word keto in very big letters on the bag or the whatever. I bought some of these products. I tried the keto chocolate cake mix, and we threw it away. I tried keto cereal, which I ate for a week or two. It's not cereal at all. It's a lot of nuts. And so I realized I could eat my own nuts. Anyway, it's like that. So whatever it is, you know, whatever the trend in nutrition is, my nephew, the doctor, and I were discussing this the other day. He's one of the rare doctors, except for my endocrinologist, who knows something about nutrition and food because he's concerned about his own health. So he does research. It's not his field at all. But we were talking about how fat used to be the bugaboo food. And now we know better, and that sugar is the bugaboo food. But I also had to point out to him that over the course of my professional food writing life, this has changed several times. And the only advice that remains valid is eat in moderation and a large variety of foods.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the only nutritional advice. In 50 some odd years of writing about this, that's the only nutritional advice that generalized, of course. I mean, I'm by the way, my diabetes numbers have been down for several years now. But if you eat a low-carbohydrate diet, you can do that. Okay.
All right.
I wasn't trying to preach or anything.
No, but it's true. It's true.
No, I mean, really, I've been on a moderation diet, variety of moderation, for several months, and I gained weight, but my numbers are still great. So you can be healthy. I may be a little chubbier, not that much, but all my numbers are terrific.
All right.
So as my doctor says, I'm very healthy for a man my age. For a man my age, which is to say, it's in terms of what I hear on TV, elderly.
That's right. All right, we'll speak to you next week, Arthur.
All right, maybe. Oh, I'm by the way, between now and then, I am going to be eating spaghetti.
Okay. All right. Take care.
I made the ragu yesterday. Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.
Linked to anti-